Good morning, Unity Church of Peace. I am so happy and honored to be here with all my old friends and some new ones too, and also because it's Burning Bowl Sunday. This is a very sacred day. On Burning Bowl Sunday, we have the opportunity to get rid of unwanted negative thoughts that are holding us back and make room for the new. And the idea of a burning bowl fits perfectly with the message today, which comes from my newest book, Authentic Kindness, The Path to Peace, Love, and Joy, which will be released in 2017. So, authentic kindness. What exactly is authentic kindness? Well, it's more than doing random acts of kindness, like pay it forward when you pay for the toll, the guy behind you in the toll booth, or you pay for someone's latte at Starbucks. These are wonderful. These are a great starting point, but that's not the focus of today's talk. Authentic kindness is the need to awaken the heart to alleviate the suffering of others. It's a deep longing to alleviate other people's suffering, that we live and breathe to do this. It includes suffering of any kind, whether it's someone who doesn't have enough to eat, someone who got a serious medical diagnosis, someone who lost their job, someone who is lonely, someone who sent their kid off to college like me yesterday. I was really suffering with that one. But any type of suffering, whether it seems large or small, we just want to alleviate that condition. In Buddhism, it's called bodhicitta. Bodhi means awake, and citta means heart-mind. So this literally means the awakened heart-mind. This translates to the foundation of authentic kindness. One of the best ways to cultivate a bodhicitta lifestyle is by self-emptying. Self-emptying is a spiritual practice used in many faith traditions, including Christianity, Sufism, Judaism, and Buddhism. It means we empty out the negative in our minds, those negative thoughts that block us and thwart the energy and power of spirit from flowing through us. Let's face it, we live in a stressful and demanding world. We're continually filled up with junk, with regrets, with sorrow, anxiety, anger, unforgiveness, shame. These feelings and the energy attached to them block off the space for God's action that expresses in us, through us, and as us. But we must make space for God's action in us to flow as divine ideas, as being in the flow of divine guidance, as being in the right place at the right time. Negative thoughts create feelings that bind us. And we do carry a heavy load. And at times, our load is really overwhelming, and that load takes up space in our consciousness. But our consciousness needs to be spacious and open so that we can open up to the abundant universe, which is the kingdom of God's good within. Here are some examples of how we get bogged down. Maybe we're passed up for a promotion at work. Or maybe someone we love broke off our relationship. Maybe we got hurt by somebody long ago, and we're angry and we still feel hurt. Maybe we have regrets for something we did or something we didn't do. I have a story about a sponge that illustrates this point. For a moment, think of a typical household sponge. You know the kind that comes in the little package, the all different colors. You get them in Costco or Walmart. They all look the same on the outside, but there is a difference. So picture five of these household sponges laying on your kitchen countertop. All the sponges look the same. Each of them will use to clean some part of your home. Now, you're curious as to exactly where your home was cleaned with each of the sponges. But you can't tell by looking. They all look the same. So what do? You squeeze each sponge to see what comes out. As you squeeze the first sponge, cola comes out. So you decide someone cleaned the kitchen with that one. Upon squeezing the second sponge, you see the tub and tile cleaner comes out. Well, somebody cleaned the bathroom with that one. Next, the third sponge, you find motor oil. Well, someone must have cleaned the garage with that one. Well, no one in my home ever cleans the garage, but maybe in this example, the garage got clean. In the fourth sponge, baby powder puffs out when it's squeezed. Oh, the baby's nursery was cleaned with that one. And finally, the last sponge, you find floor wax, and somebody cleaned the hallway with that one. Now, remember, all the sponges look alike, and you can't tell the difference until you squeeze them. Now let's take the idea of the sponges and apply it to ourselves. As life squeezes us, different things come out. Maybe anger from one event, Maybe frustration or aggravation or a need for revenge comes out, or perhaps love comes out, compassion, peace, forgiveness. Suppose you were to be squeezed, what would happen? Only you know what will come out when you are squeezed. If anything negative comes out, it's time to be still and practice self-emptying. And one great way to do that is to practice the loving kindness meditation that we did in the beginning of the service. You can squeeze out negative thoughts and patterns that take up space where the goodness of God needs to dwell. Self-emptying creates a vacuum in which God rushes in and fills the space with joy, with love, with peace, with abundance. Charles Fillmore said it this way: we must learn to let go, to give up, to make room for the things we have prayed for and desired. We must make room for God. Jesus showed us a way of living that demonstrates breaking free of clinging, losing all notions of the I, and when emptying, relying on the divine presence for everything. Whatever circumstance Jesus was in, he reacted by self-emptying. You can, too, rely on divine principle for everything, by self-emptying, by letting go, by releasing. You can decide to let go of every limiting belief taking up precious space in your consciousness. You can learn to self-empty. You can practice the loving-kindness meditation with powerful results. Don't give negative thoughts fertile ground to grow. If you empty yourself, Spirit will fill you with something better. These negative thought patterns are toxic. It's much like detoxifying the body. Have you ever heard of chelation therapy? That's a medical treatment where you get rid of toxins in the body. Just like people detoxify the body by chelation therapy, we can spiritually detoxify our minds. And this is what we will be doing later with our burning bowl ceremony. When thinking about toxic energies to release, think about forgiveness. Forgiveness is one of the unforgiveness. If you don't forgive, that's one of the most toxic energies that there is. Somebody did something to harm you and you're holding on to it. Maybe you're plotting revenge in your mind. Maybe you imagine the worst of the other person. What did Jesus say when he was on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. To be free, we must learn to let go of anger, let go of fear, let go of resentment, let go of anything not working in our lives. And lack of forgiveness is like poison. It's like a gaping wound that festers into infection. When you don't forgive and let go, it turns joy into bitterness and happiness into despair. We can learn to break free from the shackles of unforgiveness. We can break free from any shackles that bind us and restrict our hearts from living fully. Failing to forgive keeps negative energies bottled up inside of us, and they will fester, and we suffer. We're trapped by the chains that holds in our consciousness, and we remain in a victim mindset. Failing to forgive strangles our hearts and deprives us of the flow of love. Now, lack of forgiveness doesn't do anything to the other person. The other person's going along, doing their things, not even realizing that you're having all this reaction about them. So we're torturing ourselves, and we're not engaging fully in the beauty and goodness that life has to offer. Please keep in mind that once free, it doesn't mean these feelings will never arise again. These feelings can arise, but we could just observe them, acknowledge them, and through the practice of self-emptying and authentic kindness, let them go. I'm going to share with you a true story about forgiveness. It may sound implausible, but it's absolutely true. And I tell you, this is a difficult story to hear. And I'm going to use the word abuse to describe what was done to this woman without getting into gory detail. But it makes a good point. When Patty was 14 years old, her father arranged for her to be married to an older man. Her father was elderly and wanted someone to take care of her. And after a few weeks of married life, now remember she's 14, Patty's husband said, "Get dressed, I'm taking you out." And he took her to a brothel. And being young and innocent, Patty had no idea what was going on. She was scared because she was put in a room, and some guys came in and kidnapped her. And they put her in a car and brought her to a deserted spot in the woods in Maine. She lived in Maine at the time. They abused her and beat her for 3 days. And at times the men tied her up in the car and they would leave and then they'd come back. And on the last day, two of the men went for a walk and the third guy stayed behind to watch Patty. Later, this man told Patty, he looked at her in the back seat, and this is what he said. All I could see in that back seat was what looked like a little broken sparrow that had died. Did you ever see a little dead sparrow on the ground? How sad and fragile it looks. Well, upon seeing her this way, he broke down and cried. He picked her up and he brought her to the police station, and he left her on the steps there. As he was walking away, he saw Unity Church across the street, and he went in. He sat through the service, and afterwards he just cried and cried. And when the pastor saw this, he came out and put his arm around the man who confessed. And they went to the police station, and the man turned himself in. Now, fast forward 20 years, and Patty is a grown woman living in Florida, where she's attending a class called Radical Forgiveness at a religious science church. Maybe some of you have taken that class, Radical Forgiveness. So a couple of weeks after being in the class, Patty's at a diner, and she noticed an old man staring at her, and he was giving her the creeps the way he was looking at her. But hobbling with a cane, the man approached her, and he said, "You don't know me, but I'd like to talk to you alone." Patty agreed, and the man sat down. He said, "You have not changed, although you have weight on and you're older. I've been looking for you for years, hoping I would find you. I have to ask for your forgiveness." The man went on, "I was one of the men who abused you when you were a girl." He said, "I laid you on the steps of the police station and went to Unity Church and turned myself in. I spent a few months in jail and turned in the other two guys as well." And he said, "I attend a Unity Church and I'm taking a class on radical forgiveness. I knew when I took that class I would be forgiven, and that is all I need before I leave the planet." It turns out Patty and the man were taking the same class but at different churches. Patty was able to forgive him, and they actually became friendly and stayed in touch, and the man made his transition 3 months later. Patty believed the man needed forgiveness so he could leave the planet in peace. Patty told me, now Patty is amazing, Patty told me, "There's good in everyone, no matter what they have done. They may appear evil, but if you look hard enough, you can find the beauty in everybody and everything." It took spiritual strength to forgive this man. Gandhi once said, "The weak can never forgive. Forgiveness is an attribute of the strong." Practicing forgiveness is not a sign of weakness and not an attitude of rolling over and letting someone walk over you. Rather, it's a virtue that requires courage and strength. The bottom line is this: none of us can escape that someone will hurt us in some time in our lives. When we are hurt, we have a choice. We can return to the place in our hearts where the divine lives and practice self-emptying and know we are loved. And we can practice bodhicitta, offering love and kindness even to those who hurt us. Love and kindness, to me, is the most powerful healing force in the entire universe. When you are hurting, if you offer loving kindness to another person, somehow your pain diffuses and you feel really uplifted. But forgiveness requires letting go, releasing the pain, and responding with love. Let's say that affirmation together. I forgive, release, and respond with love. Again, I forgive, release, and respond with love. We all suffer in our lives. We lose a loved one, get a diagnosis of a medical condition, lose our job, have bills piling up. Whether it's karma or a soul contract, we don't always know why it's happening. But we do know we can rely on God for everything, and we could rely on the healing power of kindness to see us through. Because let's face it, it's easy to live life with negativity piling up in our hearts, and we don't even know that it's happening. So this is the importance of self-emptying, to make room for God, to make room for the good to show up. It takes more energy to be burdened with worry, fear, shame, and guilt than to let go and let God. Rather, we become empty and thus able to accept the gifts of spirits so that we may be a vessel of God on earth. Every morning I wake up and I say, "God, use me as your instrument," whatever that looks like. Whether it's working at hospice that day, whether it's talking to a bereaved person or writing, but whatever that looks like, just maybe being kind to an animal. We have to have a willingness to let go and still be happy no matter what's going on around us. So how do we self-empty and make room for God's action in us? We become self-aware and we can discover the undesirable emotions we are clinging to. Think about what you would like to release today. Fear, anger, a feeling of unworthiness, pettiness, greed. I don't know. What do you want to release? What's personal to you? Can you let go of the small self to make room for the true self, which is your divine nature? Can you release everything negative and trust Source for everything? Meister Eckhart says, when God finds you ready and empty, he must act and fill you to overflowing with himself, just as sunlight must flood and fill the clear, pure air. He cannot fail to do this when he finds you so empty and bare. Think about this. Our minds are much like the baby elephants held in captivity. The elephants are chained for a few short months, and they begin to believe they can never be free. Even after the chains are removed, the elephants do not leave. They never wander beyond the constraints of the small area of their former captivity. Like the elephants, we forget we can be free of any unwanted thoughts holding us back from expressing life fully. We can be free of the chains of negativity when we empty everything unlike God from our minds. Once we do, our consciousness reaches a higher level, a level where peace, love, and joy predominate no matter what. We find beauty and new growth when we release, let go, and practice self-emptying. I invite you to join me in a moment of prayer. I'm going to speak this word in the first person, and please take these words for yourself as I speak. Let us pray. Today, I let go of everything that is not working in my life. I live in the present moment and embrace a new, wonderful, and glorious day. I empty myself of all negativity and make space for the healing power of God. I stand bare and ready to receive God's gifts. I am filled with renewed faith, love, and energy. If anything drags me down, God lifts me up. I remember God's action in, as, and through me, and I let go. I surrender, release, and I am free. And so it is. Okay. Start the burning bowl. Okay. Now we're moving on to our burning bowl ceremony, where we can put this into practice. This is a sacred practice of release. Burning symbolizes spiritual release. So to begin, look inside your bulletin and locate a piece of tissue paper. And on that piece of tissue paper, you'll write down everything you want to release. Once you've done that, you crumple up the paper. Don't make it a tight wad. Just crumple it up a little bit. And come up to the bowl one at a time. Light one end of the paper in the Christ candle and drop it into the bowl. Let's begin. Do I go sit down now? Okay.
I hope you take with you today the spirit of the burning bowl and don't grab it back. You know, it's in there. It's done. And see the smoke and some of those ashes going up as your prayer to spirit to let it go. Don't pull it back. At this time,